Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Kick off the show here.
We're agreeing!
So cleaned up.
Welcome, Bills Mafia. Welcome to the Mafia Cast. I am your host, of course, Papa Ron, joined by my two good friends, Casey and Mike. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, man? Back. Another tough week. Tough week for us Bills fans, huh?
Another one. Yes, indeed. Casey, how are you? I haven't heard anything from you yet.
Not bad. Actually, just had my last day at my current job. Taking a little bit of time off next week and then going and starting a job with a significant pay increase the day after Thanksgiving. So excited about that. Changes my life, changes in Bill's lives. You know, there's a lot going on right now.
You know what we have in common right now? Today was my last day at my current position. We'll put it that way. Monday, I start a Monday, I start a new position. Same place and everything, but just step up and, you know, pay and responsibilities and all that fun stuff. So,
Mike, everyone, we may do this podcast, but we still don't know everything about each other's lives 24/7. So it's one of, you know, we're not fully married yet. We're still dating.
I
know more about Casey's than Rod's.
Well, you know, there's a couple of miles that separates me from the two of you as well. So that's part of
it. We're like a coastal show here. So.
Promotion King, Emily, I'm not so sure about that. But I will say I've only been at where I'm at right now for 4 months. So I was told that I'm moving up faster than anybody in history. So I'll take it.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good for you, Papa Ron.
Yeah. Thank you. So, Mike, what are you doing though? Like, anything new with you? Job? Anything? What's going on? When are you going to Vegas?
We know. What we're talking about. I don't know. We still do talk about that. We are gonna link up. But we are gonna make that Vegas trip. You know, in the next, I don't know, year or two. We'll have a great time. I think it'll be fun to meet up.
Yeah.
So, are we gonna tell everybody what Vegas trip actually means, or?
I'm going to leave that to Mike.
Secret. Well, I am. That's what I'm. Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Who knows what it means? We got to get there first.
I forgot she listens to the show.
Yeah.
More to come on the Vegas trip in a year or two. Our listeners will probably forget if it's 2 years from now, but okay.
They don't care about my life. They don't even care about the team right now.
Yeah. Well, all right. So with that, let's jump into this. Big changes this week. I think a lot of people kind of felt it was coming. I think most people, if you listen to the show or if you know me, you know I've been kind of, defending Dorsey to an extent. More so not because of I believe in his offense, but because more so I believe that it's more on the players to execute the plays that are being called. But after that game against the Broncos, you felt it coming. Did you guys feel it that way, or?
I was shocked, honestly. I mean, I know we talked about it. I mean, I don't want to say completely shocked. I mean, because we touched on that, and a lot of people were talking about it, obviously, but I didn't think, I mean, it was the game for me where I like lost all my hope for the Bills because they really crushed it. Man, I was hanging on so tough. I'm like, we got this. And now I'm just like, man, dagger. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was a little shocking to me, honestly. I didn't think they were actually going to do it. And they did, and I'm kind of a little relieved, but I don't know how much it's going to help, you know. So I'm just hoping it lights a fire, you know, and that this, you know, shows, you know, this is serious. You know, someone just lost their job over this. So, you know, someone gets fired at your job, you're not, and it's maybe it's your, you had something to do with, you know, whatever went happened. You're like, oh man.
Yeah. I do wonder about like the mentality right now at One Bill's Drive, because and Josh even said that he does feel responsible for it. And he's made the comment that it hurts. It's got to be hard to be a quarterback in this league and your coach gets fired because your offense that you are the head guy of, like the face of the franchise, isn't getting it done. It's got to be hard. You know, hopefully he can step up and we can move forward. Casey, what do you think about this move?
So, I mean, you, like you said, you've been the one that's been defending Dorsey this year, you know, and more so trying to put the blame on the players. And I mean, we all see it. I mean, he doesn't fumble the football. He's not the one that, you know, is making the bad, poor decisions with Josh, like that Josh is making and throwing interceptions. He's not dropping the ball, letting go through his hands like Gabe. But he was putting these guys into the positions to where it could happen. No, I understand, you know, like he can only control so much, but like it was like last year I was the one that was always like, our offense, you know, on paper, it was fantastic. And we were number two in this, number one in that, mm-hmm. number two in this, top five in that. But I was the one that kept saying, I was like, but look at it. And like, it didn't look right. Nothing flowed. It looked blocky. It looked like we had to try for every single thing except for the Titans and the Rams game. But that's, you know, first year with a new offensive coordinator, you know, teams don't necessarily know what to scheme for. And just like this year, a couple of early games, we were high flying. We had a couple new wrinkles. But I mean, to the eye test, again, like nothing since has looked right, has looked smooth, has looked like it's like just natural to the guys. Like everybody has to think about what they're doing, and they shouldn't be thinking at this point. They should be reacting and playing football. So right. I'm not surprised. I'm not saying I'm glad somebody lost their job, but I'm not surprised that this has happened. And I kind of questioned the move coming in, and I don't hate it. I don't hate the fact that he's gone. I'm surprised by the timing of it, that they really did do it mid-season. But after the last game, it's inexcusable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree. I actually wrote about it last week prior to it happening that making a midseason change doesn't make a lot of sense unless it's, you know, they bring in somebody that's already on the staff to call plays, which that name being Joe Brady. But what people may not realize about Joe Brady is he has less offensive coordinator experience than Ken Dorsey by game, albeit. That Broncos game was the tiebreaker, essentially, and Dorsey has 29 games under him as opposed to Brady with 28. When he was with LSU and he had Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on that offense, arguably one of the greatest offenses in college football we've ever seen, but he wasn't the OC. He was the passing game coordinator. He was the QB coach, or I'm sorry, receivers coach. So
and how QB's much coach.
He... Yeah,
he was a QB's coach.
How much all that played into the LSU Tigers offense and how much input he had, I mean, who knows? But he also has some experience with Sean Payton and his offense. So we'll see what happens. I'm with you, though. I can't say that I'm necessarily I had no ties with Dorsey. There was no emotional attachment. I don't care. Oh, well, that sounds terrible. It doesn't matter to me who's in the position as long as the team is successful. Like everybody Agreed. Wants, well, I don't say everybody, but a lot of people want McDermott out. I don't think that's the right move. But again, if it means the team being successful, okay, fine, whatever. But because obviously you're not going to fire Josh Allen. Nobody's going to do that. We're not getting rid of Stephon Diggs. We're not, the players are not going anywhere.
Yeah, Gabe might.
Yeah.
Which,
after
all right,
the season. After quick the season.
Vote. Quick vote. Thumbs up, thumbs down. How do we feel about Gabe leaving?
After the season?
Yep. Well, yeah.
So as we, I'd like to get something for him.
You can't.
Well, this, he's on a contract. This is his final year, so he's either a free agent signing elsewhere, or we're going to extend him.
So, what do you think?
We could save a little money with him.
Yeah, I'm
I don't think it would kill this team.
I'm kind of out on Davis at this point. I think I've seen enough.
There's some key moments that he let us down. I mean, we wouldn't be missing much there. I think it'd give an opportunity to someone else.
Yeah.
Because now so we're talking about this. This is the actual players who are missing catches. You know.
So like what would your guys' plan be for? What would your guys' plan be for number two next year? Are you going after? Draft. Are you draft? I was gonna say, are you going after a free agent trying to free up cap, or are you going in the draft and young?
I think you explore all options. You know, you maybe add a few.
There are some big names out there in free agency this year. You know, people like T. Higgins, but he's not going to accept number two money. No, well, he's proven that he can be a number one. But the only argument teams can have is look at your injury history. He tends to miss a couple of games every single year he's been in the league. So it's one of those things to where he might not be able to get top money. But, you know, if we can swing – we were able to swing 6 years, $160 million to Von Miller in a year when we had, what, like $2 million in cap space? I wouldn't be shocked if Bean wanted to go that route, but I'm with Ronnie on this. I think you got to go draft. I mean, look at the production that young wide receivers have been having in the league recently. I mean, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a scary duo. That's scary. You know, and they're both on rookie contracts.
You got to have that pick, and you got to hit on it, too.
Well, yeah, but you look at Tank Dell over in Houston. He's having a really good season. And this year's class of rookie receivers was not expected to be as good. Right. Like,
but it's turning out to be fantastic.
Yeah, they were like, oh, this is – more of a depth wide receiver class. This isn't your high end guys yet. They're putting up some pretty good numbers on the field right now. So I think if Buffalo goes to the direction of the draft, for me, it's because of the money. I think there's talent there. This year's class looks like it's going to be a really good one too on paper. But you're already paying top dollar for Stephon Diggs. You're paying top dollar for Josh Allen. You still got the contract.
Dawson Knox, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's just too many big contracts for them to be able to go out and get a big name wide receiver like a T. Higgins or something. Mm-hmm. So, and you spoke of Dawson Knox. I actually went and looked at his contract. He's another one we can't get rid of. There's just too much dead money locked up in him next year. So there's a lot going on. Roy talked about how I want to bring this up again because he says, I think Brady will be one of many that will be interviewed for the position of season's end. I do agree. A little plug here. I'm actually working on an article right now that's going to highlight some of the potential coordinators that Buffalo might hire next year. I do think ultimately this is Brady's job to lose. I think if he goes out there and he quote unquote fixes the offense, it's his. Hands down. But if they continue to struggle, that's going to be a problem, and I think they look elsewhere. But
do you think they'd accept my Madden ratings as for my resume?
Definitely,
it's pretty good up there. I was in the top 7% last I checked.
Since Dorsey's been fired, I changed up how I've been calling plays, and I think it's for
true.
The better.
It actually is true. He has done that, and it's really funny.
Improved my game.
Yeah, so, you know, I have to admit,
he's helping everybody
talking about the Madden thing. I have to admit, I'm almost like I don't know what do they call it, a prisoner of the moment. Like back when I first started watching the Bills, it was all about the no huddle and the K gun and everything.
Yeah.
At least later on. But and I kind of like gravitated towards that. I was like, oh, this is awesome. This offense is great. But then over the years, we've seen Buffalo kind of transition into more of this rushing attack with we had Marshawn Lynch for a while and Fred Jackson and Willis McGahee and Travis Henry and all these guys like, oh, we got to run the ball. We're a great running team. And now you got Josh Allen like, oh, we need to throw the ball. So,
but we need again, to rush it too.
We do. But kind of going back to what I said a while ago, I don't care how they do it. Just freaking win. Like, get the points that you need to win the games. I don't care if it's ugly. I don't care if it's pretty. Just win the freaking games. Whatever's going to be successful, that's what I want. I'm just not locked into one particular style over another. Like, yeah, it's fun to watch Josh Allen sling the ball, but if it's James Cook getting 150 yards a game, it's going to get us wins. Let's do it. Whatever.
Yeah. Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, it's the old take what they're giving you. You know, if they're playing, they're sitting back, you know, they're playing light boxes, run it down their throats until they start honoring that and playing, you know, with an extra guy or two in the box. And that's when you can take advantage of, you know, not necessarily having to go deep, but being able to playing against more man defense and using the athleticism of Diggs and even Davis to, you know, get open. You know, that's when we've seen this offense play really well, is when we get to play against man defense. We've seen like the receivers and Josh both struggle against zone.
Yeah. If you get a chance, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to listen to it. I actually listened to it on the way home today from work. I think most Bills fans know that Dan Orlovsky talks a lot about the Bills and kind of, and what's wrong with the offense, right? Well, today I listened to the Kurt Warner piece talking about basically the same thing. They both have differing opinions, though. Orlovsky's saying the offense is basically broken. Josh Allen is not broken. Dorsey needs to be more creative. He needs to do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. And then today, listening to the Kurt Warner piece, it's almost the exact opposite, saying that he's not saying that Allen's broken, but there are plays that Allen is not hitting. He's not hitting the open guy. Whatever Dorsey's calling, there are guys getting open. Allen is not hitting them. Not all the time, obviously. Allen still goes out and makes some great plays. But there are moments when, for whatever reason, he elects not to go with the easy guy that is open. He hesitates for whatever reason. He's too late on the throw, whatever the case may be. And so, to me, I don't want to say Dorsey's a scapegoat because I think there was more to it than just play calling. I think there was more behind the scenes that nobody's aware of that was happening. Maybe some conversations that were taking place and change needed to be made. But
maybe players only meetings.
Yeah. I think at the bottom, at the end of the day though, this is a cumulative issue. This is everybody is the issue. It's the drop passes. It's the play calling. It's, you know, the fourth and one decisions to go for it or not go for it in the case that we've seen as well, which is on McDermott. It's the decision to challenge a first down play reception, which it would not have made a difference and cost you a timeout 2 weeks ago. it's the throwing the deep ball into double coverage and getting an intercept. It's all of these guys. I mean, it's all the offense. Let me put it that way. The defense. And I put this,
they're doing the best they can.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where I do applaud McDermott.
They're the only reason the game was that close.
And they're the only reason we have any chance in any game the last 5 weeks. And four to five starters missing a game.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this, because this is something I was thinking about for the last couple of days. You watch these games, the defense is playing well, especially considering how well they're undermanned. The special teams has been an issue. Offense has been an issue. This wasn't a problem in the past. McDermott is now, during the games, having to focus on the defense. Do you think that's maybe part of the issue? Is his attention is not on the team as a whole, and now maybe the offense and the special teams is kind of suffering a little bit because of that? And do you think that maybe next year we need to bring in an actual DC?
Go ahead, I mean, Mike. It can't help. It doesn't help the situation that, you know, you're basically doing the work of two people, right? You know, it has to take some sort of focus away. I don't know. I've even thought of my mind's been all over the place this week. thought of McDermott being the DC and bringing a new head coach. I don't know. Because you know how people were.
I've heard that one. Yeah. I don't think he would do it, but.
No, I don't.
Not a chance in hell. Why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you take a demotion when you can leave and go get another head coaching job somewhere else?
Guarantee you he would get all these possibilities.
100%.
Definitely think, you know, we definitely need an addition to the staff.
Yeah, because I just think, I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but special teams hasn't really been much of an issue with this team in a while. Like, not just counting this year, but years past. They've always been pretty solid.
Except kick returner.
Except
kick returner. And that was only an issue when we I'm gonna forget his name now. After we lost him is when it became an issue. But before then, yeah. I mean, we had one of, if not the best special teams unit in a long time. And it seemed like in the beginning of this year, special teams unit was coming along. Like, it was like back on track. You know, we were doing, it was all right. It was playing well. Here we are again, you know, struggling and everything. The Jills. No. Yeah. If they bring back the Jills, that means we lose the Buffalo Stampede, and we do not want to lose the Buffalo Stampede.
No, we don't.
For the newer Bills fans out there, the Jills are basically the Buffalo Bills cheerleaders, and that's what they were called, was the Buffalo Jills. It's been a while since that was a thing. Like, probably a decade plus.
I truly don't have a memory of the Jills.
It's been a long time.
It's probably been 10, 12 years at least, right?
Oh, it's been
in y'all's lifetime. I know that.
It's been much longer than 10, 12 years.
I remember the whole controversy thing in the
– I'm 28, or whatever. So that would put it at 18. And I've been going to games since I was 18, and I've never seen the Jills. So it must have happened when – I mean, I was young.
I don't know. Someone's going to have to look
that up. Yeah.
I'm on it, boys. I'm on it.
All right, you let us know when you find it. Let's talk about where the Bills are standing right now, though. We'll move on from the Dorsey and Joe Brady conversation. I'll just add this really quick, though, as far as Brady goes. I have a level of excitement for this game this weekend, only because of the unknown. Like, I don't expect any sweeping changes because it's too early in the middle of the season. He's not frozen, but he's just found something that's interesting. So we're going to break away for some breaking news because Casey's got something to say.
Yeah. They were dissolved in 2014.
Thank you.
My God, am I old.
10 years.
I told you it's about 10 years.
I moved to Rochester around 10 years ago. So I feel like it was around that time when I was starting to go to more Bills games that, I feel like it was sort of relevant, the whole thing where they dissolved the Jills. So I do remember that, you know, from like when I just moved around 10 years ago, 9 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of jumping back to what I was saying, as far as the level of excitement for this game, it's simply because of the unknown. I don't expect a lot of changes, but I am curious to see how the game is called with Brady in there. So, other than
that, kind of I was just saying, you know, we need more people on the coaching staff, obviously, but Do you think there was just too many like opposing ideas, or it's just not working in a cohesive manner? You know, we're all not agreeing. Our heads aren't all in the right space. You know, we're not working together. You know, the players meeting, trying to get that bonding, trying to bring everyone together, you know, and get in the same state of mind. So I wonder if there really was a conflict of ideas, and, you know, they sort of just downplay it, you know, like McDermott saying, yeah,
you know,
Ken's the guy, he's calling the plays, there's no question about it, or whatever.
By saying that, there was, and I don't remember if we talked about this last show or not, in one of the press conferences, Josh Allen made the comment that I'm just running the plays that are called.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that almost sounds like maybe he's not 100% confident.
Yeah.
With what's being called, but, you know, he's running what's called. Now, we'd all be foolish to think that Allen doesn't have some input in the offense. Like, he does. But so, and because of that, I do wonder if maybe there's a little bit of a disconnect going on, maybe between Allen and Dorsey. I think the head coach or the coaching staff, I mean, I like to think they're on the same page. And during Brady's press conference, I think today or maybe yesterday, he talked about the communication in this organization is first class. He talked about this organization as a whole is first class, from Mr. Pegula all the way down. Everybody's on the same page. He, when asked about the play calling things, obviously he didn't get into any specifics, but it did start to sound like to me that maybe Dorsey was losing the locker room. You hear about that all the time with Coach McDermott or the head coach position losing the locker room, right? I do wonder if maybe Dorsey was starting to lose the offensive portion of the locker room.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was saying with the players only meeting. I mean, I think this might be one of the very few times in history there's been a player only meeting, a game happens, and then the result of what we think the player only meeting was about happened.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was the players being
possible.
Like, we got to figure this out. I understand, like, we're all frustrated, you know, with the offense. You know, maybe there was the disconnect with Dorsey, and they were like, we got to do what we got to do, man. Like, there's only so much we can do, but, like, we got to do our best. And, they put out their best, and they're like, we don't know what to do anymore. Like, we've done everything we can do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I've taken away from Josh in this whole scenario is he's like, I'm playing as best as I could with the tools I'm given, with the play calls I'm given. I don't think that he's been given the clearance to, like, I mean, I understand. I know he makes checks at the line.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like, it doesn't seem like he gives him the control to, you know, not necessarily. I mean, he can go from pass to run to pass, but it doesn't seem like he can go from a pass play to this pass play, depending on what he is seeing of the defense. You know what I'm saying? He might be able to hot route players and such, but it just never seemed in that sense that he's had that control.
Yeah. And that's, again, that's a possibility. That's why I'm kind of excited about this game. Unfortunately, it's against the Jets, who have one of the better defenses in football. I saw a stat, well, it was another podcast I was listening to this morning. Josh Allen has, I think it was 17 turnovers, 9 touchdowns, and 6 games against the Jets in his career.
Yeah.
Yet he's 10 games, but he's 6-4 against them. I think we can probably put a lot of that on the fact that he's had to go up against Zach Wilson and that other guy from USC or
Donald Duck.
What kills me with the turnovers, though, and Casey, we chat about this a little bit, is the fact that, like, how many of these picks are tipped or off the receiver's hands, or, you know what I mean, just not Josh's fault. I mean, the stat's a stat, and, you know, he is on the other end of the ball when it gets intercepted. But, you know, if you take away that, I mean, is there a stat for tip picks? Because he's got to have a lot of them.
We said this. We had this exact conversation last year about the same player and another player that they let walk this past year in Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah,
he was the king of the tip pick last year. You know, he and Gatewood, like, it killed us. And like they finally they were like, you know, we you're a great locker room guy, you know, but like it like we finally had to like bite the bullet and like break every fan's heart and let McKenzie walk. And I see the same thing going on with Gabe Davis again this year, to where I think we've gotten everything we can get out of Gabe Davis. Maybe somebody else is able to get more out of him, and I hope they can. I do like Gabe. He's a fun guy to root for. But kind of what I'm brought about McDermott last week, that maybe we've hit our peak with that player and with maybe the coach. And maybe now we're on like the downside of that, and where the change, hey, you never know, man. I mean, if things don't change, I think if we end up 8-9, 9-8, I think McDermott ends up gone.
Yeah.
And it's mainly pressure.
If this was a situation where the team as entirety was struggling, like every aspect of this team was struggling, I'd be more apt to blame McDermott. But that's not the case.
But every aspect of the team is struggling except his defense. But yeah, it's supposed defense. To be his that's entire team. But it's supposed that's to be think, his entire team, though.
Right, which is why I think maybe he brings in a defensive coordinator next year. Or maybe he doesn't, and maybe this is a year where he kind of learns better how to manage both roles. I saw, I think it was yesterday, Frank Reich is taking over play calling duties in Carolina. He did it for the beginning of the season, then he handed it over for a few weeks, and now he's taking it back. So it's not out of the ordinary for coaches to do this. I think he can do it. I think maybe he needs this season to kind of, and then, you know, maybe going into next year, he has a better understanding of how to do it. Even if we're 9-8, I don't think McDermott should go. That's just me. If we go over 7 games, maybe.
I don't necessarily think he should go. But if he is gone, like I zero shock. And the only reason why he will be gone is because of the pressure from the fans, which is, you know, 95% of every reason why every coach gets fired.
Yeah, Roy, Casey and I chat about this a little bit too. And yeah, when you're throwing a 5-10 yard pass, you don't want to whip it, you know, but then Casey brought up, you know, the Gabe Davis, he might have been 20 yards down the field. And you do want to zip that ball in there. And we were all hoping, because we saw this from Gabe last year. We were all hoping he was going to make those improvements and be better this year. And he's done decent, but now we're seeing it happen multiple times again.
Mm-hmm.
In all fairness, he only has recorded three drops this year. Now fans will look at some and think, well, he should have had that. But, you know, the stats people say, nah. You know, kind of like the Dawson again, Knox catch from a few weeks ago where he had to kind of go down. It was a low pass. To me, he gets both hands on it. You should catch that.
Right. Oh, that's the whole thing, to where numbers only tell part of the story.
Yeah.
Right.
It goes back to what the offense, you know, under Ken Dorsey has been. No, basically number two the last, like, since he was our offensive coordinator in the entire league. It still didn't look right, and everybody knew it. Everybody could see it, and it's kind of the same thing with Gabe. Like it's something's just not right. Like it's just not clicking with him. And by clicking, I mean his hands clicking together.
Right, after last game, you could also say that for James Cook, right?
No, I will be the biggest James Cook defender when it comes to last game. That was incredibly idiotic for McDermott to bench him for the first fumble he's had since his first start in the NFL.
Yeah.
The first time. So what, and then everybody said it was on Twitter. Oh, you're going to bench Gabe because of the interception now? Are you going to like equal it out to James Cook? Yeah. It's true. If that's the way you're going to do it, be consistent. Like give that kind of clarity. Clearly, it was like it was just something that he had with James Cook. I understand Latavius Murray has been playing well this year, was playing very well this past game. James Cook got benched for what, a quarter and a half, and ended up with over 100 yards rushing, his first or second highest total of the season this year.
especially that 109 yards and 12 carries after he came back into the game. Here's my issue. Like, I don't mind if a coach wants to hold players accountable and have some sort of punishment, if you will. But I don't think it works in the NFL.
No.
Because, to your point, if you're going to do it to the running back position, you probably should do it to the receivers too. If you do it to the receivers too, why isn't Josh Allen getting benched for throwing interceptions left and right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So I think you set a precedence that you can't live up to, because you're not going to bench Josh Allen because he made a mistake. So if you're not going to bench him, then to my opinion, you shouldn't do that to anybody on the team.
Yeah.
Pull him to the side, like, look, man, you got to do better. Sit him
for a series, a cup, in the maybe one, two series.
Yeah.
The one was Josh's fault too, handing the ball off. He let go of it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I was on edge when that happened, and I screamed at my TV, if you bleeping bench him because of this, I was like, I swear to bleeping God, and I was hot. I was like, that was not his fault, and I was waiting for McDermott to just pull that chain back, and he didn't. Thank God he didn't, because again, James Cook and the defense, the only reason why we're into this game.
Yeah. Nick says McDermott overloaded himself. He's doing good as DC, but other responsibilities are falling off. Yeah. Affecting his decision making. That's kind of what we were just talking about. Is he trying to do too much?
Definitely need an offensive mind in there, I think.
I don't know. We'll see with Joe Brady, necessarily... but
yeah. I think with this situation, we're sort of just, you know, we're just cutting ourselves free a little bit from the current situation. And hopefully they just set these guys free and let them play some backyard football or something.
It's kind of like,
what do you got to lose at this point?
They're at 500. There's 8 and 7 games left of the season. So basically, you know, like it's just basically at this point, it's a 7-game season. What can you do? It's a clean slate. It's 7 games left of the season. You know, we're basically 0-0 at this point. Fire Dorsey and let's get this offense revamped and basically restarted and jump started again.
Yeah. What? Okay. I was going to bring this up later and ask this question since you kind of go into the 5-5 thing. Do you think, how many games do Buffalo need to win from here on to make the playoffs in your opinion? And I'll start with Casey, because I'm hearing some people say 10, some people saying that's not going to cut it. Right now, we're, I believe, in the eighth or ninth spot. At 5-5. So what do you guys think?
10 is the bare minimum.
Except 1 or 2.
10 is the bare minimum. 12 wins the division. 12 wins the division because we have tiebreakers over Miami. That's basically our only shot at not winning the division, unless we lose Sunday. And then if we lose Sunday, the season is basically over. I hope people understand that. That puts us behind
the Dolphins. Technically, but yeah, no. I understand what you're saying.
I mean, it puts us out of the division, basically. I mean, that puts us at 1-3 in the division. No, we can't do that.
Yeah.
If we'll be so we'll be that
yeah, but
we'll be four games
back. We're still against the Dolphins.
Yeah, but we're
only 3.5 back right now.
Not overall. Oh yeah, so we're
Miami.
Game and a half back. But not if we lose this weekend. We'll be 2.5 games back.
You're assuming the Dolphins win.
Assuming the Dolphins win. The Dolphins are playing the Raiders.
Yeah, I know. Who have won 2 in a row since their new coach? Listen, here's the thing. I mean, I get it. I understand. Like, people are obviously down on the team. They're saying the season is over. What you're saying. Mathematically, yeah, I get it. It's probably not going to happen. But until the season is done, I'm not throwing in the towel, because we've seen a couple years ago with the Rams, they did not win a game in November, and they won a Super Bowl. Yeah. It happens.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so, and I don't know. I've seen a lot of football. even if they do lose against the Jets, yes, I know it's going to feel like the world is over. and it most likely will be, but I'm just, I guess maybe just an overly optimistic person. Then until you know who is singing,
yeah,
I'm still in, but it'll definitely be some, it'll be a long week if we lose to the Jets again.
Roman's right. It'll be a Bud Light for everyone.
Yeah.
The bats, baby. Come on. None of that crap.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel good about this weekend, though, honestly. I do. I don't know why. But
I picked them to win by double digits, so.
No.
On tally site. Well, I guess I just ruined one of my score predictions, huh?
We'll get to it later.
That's okay. Mike, I'm going to let you take the tweet time. Ready, go.
Oh, you're making me do this?
Yeah.
I just want to say thanks to Steve for tuning in. I think he's a new viewer. I shared on my Facebook page. And I know Steven from the racetrack. He's the announcer there. So he's good at this kind of thing.
That we're doing shout out there. I appreciate that. Yeah.
But I think he's reasonable with that. You know, lose two games. That kind of puts it out of sight, maybe. 6-1 almost seems doable. We would be comfortable at that point, but hard to. I don't think.
Yeah,
it'd be tough. 11 that's six. Quite a run there.
I think part of the issue too is the schedule. I think that's why a lot of people are looking at this like, yeah, we're done. But
I was going to ask if you guys wanted to go over the schedule quick, because we go Jets at home, Eagles, Chiefs in Arrowhead, Cowboys, Chargers, who are like us, you never know which team you're going to show up for, Patriots, and the Dolphins. So right off the bat, I mean, who do you guys think we beat?
I can't answer that. Like, because the Jets and Patriots already beat us. Miami can't beat a team with a winning record, which we don't have right now.
So, God, we're screwed.
And then, of course, Philadelphia, Kansas City. I'm not as scared of Kansas City as in the past, but even still, it is Kansas City, and they're still finding ways to win. So, honestly, this team can beat anybody in the league still, but they can also go 0-7.
Yeah.
Oh, easily. If they went 0-7, I would be like, I'm back to my childhood.
Yeah.
I don't think we're versus the Patriots again.
Makes you feel young again.
I'd feel like Trent Edwards all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't personally think we go 0-7, but we need to show up on Sunday afternoon and beat the Jets. Doesn't necessarily have to be in like resounding fashion. I don't think it needs to be 42-0. But this team needs to get some confidence about themselves, needs to get some of that swagger about themselves back. And that's one reason. We weren't going to talk about this, but since it kind of came up, Leonard Fournette, I think he brings something to this roster on game day that maybe we need. Yeah, we got Stephon Diggs, who is a loud vocal leader, but this team has heard him be loud and vocal for 4 years now. Maybe we need somebody new that can be that way. And Fournette, he's kind of that guy. Everybody remembers about the fight from a few years back. It's who he is, and maybe we need that.
Not even that. Just remember how hard, like, Mike, you probably didn't watch him at LSU. Ronnie, do you remember how hard that man ran in college?
Oh, yeah.
I watched him
Cuse in the dome.
I watched him come to Cuse. I haven't seen much of it, though, but... I haven't seen hits harder than that from a running back. I mean, he is... as physical as you want.
He was their whole team
when he played. Absolutely. They didn't need anything else. Just give him the ball and get out of the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Ronnie said, I agree with you 100%. We need some physicality other than Josh Allen. Your quarterback cannot be the meanest dog on the field on offense. You know, I understand, you know, we have Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins, but like, Josh Allen is still the one that puts out the meanest hits on that offense, you know, and stands up for the most people. That shouldn't be it. But kudos to him. But like, I agree with you. We could use another dog out there.
Yeah, yeah. Let's jump back. There's a couple of questions here in the comment section we're going to get to, but I do want to jump back a little bit to the tweets, or X, whatever you like, you want to call it. This is something we kind of want to share. Yeah. We did it before.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. Formerly known as Twitter. This is something that when we first started this show, Casey and I, we did a section called Tweet Talk, and we would share people's comments from Twitter based on, you know, some of the conversations we'd have on there or question or whatever. So we kind of want to bring that back a little bit. So I'm going to let Mike go ahead and take this little piece and you know, hear what people have to say in the comments afterwards.
Hey, this is your tweet though, but I'm
it is. It is.
I'll get us started.
You can, you get it started. You know,
I know what order they're in, all of that. I loaded them up here. So here we have the tweet. Ron tweeted this out. Yes. Was it earlier today or yesterday?
It was this morning.
Right. All right. So, asking, you know, the Bills have the new coach and Brady. What are you expecting? Good, bad, or worse? We're just trying to, you know, put a feeler out there, get everyone's opinions. So he put that tweet out, just trying to see how Bills Mafia is feeling about it. We get different opinions here and there, and trying to get a little chat going started on it. So Ron asked that. We got a few responses here. We got Mick Breezy, who was he says, as a Bama fan, I watched Burrow at LSU go from being average at best in 2018 to the greatest QB maybe ever in 2019. Who joined the LSU staff that year? Joe Brady. There is hope. So, I mean, yeah, that's a very positive way to look at it. I mean, I know people are saying he doesn't have a lot of experience, and, you know, Joe Burrow's going to do Joe Burrow. I mean, he's him, you know, no matter what coach he has. But, you know, that does build a little hope for us. And then, you know, you have your response there. 2 years he's been in Buffalo. So, you know, kind of the other side of it. What has he
kind of
really
being a
done?
Negative Nancy on this one?
No, but it's more realistic, though, because, you know, you're saying, what has he done? You don't really know. Maybe he's kind of been overshadowed by Dorsey. And now we're really going to find out. So the next slide here kind of just expanded that thread, and the text is so tall that I can't read it. So yeah, but McBreezy, he agreed with you. That's fair. Hoping a lot of mistakes are out of frustration. No one seems to be open, which that's kind of arguable too. You know, we've seen him, people be open and him not see it or not make that throw in time and extend the play. But if Brady can mix up the, you know, maybe mix it up a little bit, the root trees and formations, maybe it'll help, he says. So, you know, he wants to see Hardy more involved too. So again, more with the hopeful and then, you know, you kind of agreed with that too. So I think we're all kind of looking forward to that, you know, something different. And hopefully we cut. I don't want to say too much negative stuff about Dorsey because I think he does have a great potential, but it's kind of cutting out the bad stuff we don't need right now. It's just not gelling here or whatever the facts are.
And maybe Dorsey can catch on elsewhere and learn from this and who knows, maybe one day he's a head coach.
Right. And then you have the more mediocre approach here from Pete B, where, not expecting radical changes, you know, just looking for a better management of the game or the plays we already have. See Josh playing with less of an emotional collar on his neck. So like you said, maybe just cutting us free, getting a little more relaxed and moving the ball. And then of course, you have everyone chiming in with the things couldn't be too worse. The year is over. You got people saying we're 7-0 from here out. Not Josh expecting nothing. Yeah. So this year's a walk.
Everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Here's a comment from Nick C that I want to throw up here because it's in relation to this. Got to say better. The Bills offense is at their floor, scoring in the teens and low 20s every game with Allen Diggs and all of this talent. It's unlikely they get worse. That's kind of where I'm at. But
yeah. Let me get this ticker out of the way. I didn't realize that's going to be in the way there. We can start with the first one. So here we have from MAF43. Believe it will be better to an extent. Brady has the ability to take away some of the predictability. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, might be slight different. It's not going to be the same. It's just not going to be the same, you know. two back sets with Gilliam in play action, maybe Josh under center, but how good, we'll see what he is able to bring. So, you know, throwing some new ideas out there, but still we got to wait and see. So we don't really, we don't really know exactly what's going to go on. And then you have 27 rings here talking about, you know, Josh is no doubt having an off year, but leads in total touchdowns. You know, imagine if he gets fixed and going again. Gets
fixed. And he will
go
this
off.
This one was one of my favorites. Yeah. Like, let's look out. Let's fix Josh now.
Yeah. I don't know. He has too much testosterone. Is that where he needs to settle down? Is that
I don't know.
No, that's a funny one though.
Yeah, I like it. So we do want to do this kind of make this a weekly thing, just to share some more of the thoughts from the, you know, from Bills Mafia going forward. But Casey, is there anything you, as far as some of those comments that you heard, you agree with, disagree, on par with?
Well, just for starters, I am shocked that there wasn't a single swear word in any of the tweets that came up and that we had a censor anything. So kudos to you guys. I didn't either until we were reading these. And I was like, thank God, like, we have good quality people. I was like, because that would have been really bad.
It could have got bad.
It's one of those things. I mean, how much can you fully change an offense in the middle of the season? Not much. You can input new plays. I mean, they do that all the time, but you can't input an entire new playbook. They'll get hit. Brady will scheme up, and, you know, he'll have a couple different formations, players in different positions, and like current formations. He's going to change little things, I think, and probably not necessarily do the exact opposite of what Dorsey's doing, but I think we're going to see something a little bit more aggressive. We don't see many vertical shots. I know I was begging all year for more horizontal passing, but we're not really getting horizontal or vertical. Everything's kind of staying like at 15 and under. So, like, and I understand Josh and Diggs have flourished at that yardage for the last however many years, but we haven't been seeing these dig shots deep. We haven't been seeing Davis go get the one-on-ones deep on the outside, even if it is against the cover three. They're still playing down, which just turns into man defense if you're going high. So I expect to see a little bit of that this week, going especially going against the Jets, really trying to challenge those corners.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, it's funny you say more downfield. I remember when Allen kind of like his breakout year, right? His third season in the league, and firing the ball every which way and completing passes. And at first you're like, oh God. Okay. We're good. And then there came a couple of years where you're like, as soon as he let go of the ball, you knew it was going to be something special. Now it's like, oh God. It's like up and down. Like, can we just get solid again and be consistent?
So Lauren, I swear on my life, this is true. Last year I would sit down and watch game. I mean, I sit in the same spot. I'm a creature of habit when it comes to Bills games. I have my game day outfit. I have my jersey rotation. I sit the same spot. I tend to eat the same thing. And I would sit there and watch games. My wife would be watching it with me. And as soon as they would snap the ball, and like I could tell it was a deep shot, you got Diggs. Like as soon as they snapped the ball, I could see him beat him off the line, and I could see the shots happen. Like I'd call it for it happened. She'd be like, "How do you do that?" And just thinking about it, there hasn't been a single time this year when I've like made the call, "You got Diggs," and it's actually worked where they've connected on it. I can't truly think about it. Like, think of a time when it happened. They've been more so like not lucky, but more so just an amazing play. Not where Diggs beat the coverage straight up right off the line and just had the guy beat deep and let Josh that 2 seconds he needs to load up and load that cannon and bomb it deep for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I called it once at the Raiders game, but it was like an out route or something. It was short. I'm like, there's Diggs.
You did.
Let's hit on this one really quick from Roy. Off-topic question. Why is Shakir returning kicks? I don't think he's doing very well. why not have Hardy to kick? And I've seen both of them out there.
I'd say they're both out there.
Yeah. Even in the same game, I've seen them both. And yeah, I think Shakir's, I mean, I don't know. He's fielding the ball is fine. He did return kicks and stuff here at Boise State, so he can do it, and he was pretty good at it. I do agree, though. I think maybe that's more Hardy's thing. He is obviously faster, quicker, and everything. But Shakir, I think they just trust him at this point. Returner.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, Hardy is all-pro returner. So, and making the switch won't necessarily be a bad thing if they feel the need.
Yeah. Who else would do it? I guess. Yeah, I think Hardy's the best option. A lot of times, I think teams like to have two returners out there on the field during the kickoffs, not necessarily punts. But, yeah, I couldn't answer that for you. I would like to see more of Hardy in that role. I don't care. Like, I see a lot of people like, we need to get Sherfield and Hardy more involved. Like, no, we don't. We really don't. For whatever reason, they haven't earned that spot yet. Whereas Kincaid, Shakir, Diggs, Cook, those guys have. This office needs to go through those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, let's go ahead and hit sprinkle in Hardy here and there in Sherfield or whatever.
Right.
But they're just not getting on the field, and there's a reason for that. So why everybody just assumes that, well, they're really good. They need to be out there. Well, that's okay. Well, maybe they had some good moments in the past, but for some reason, they're not getting it done.
They were fourth option free agents this summer. We brought them in as depth. I know we paid Hardy a little bit more, but than average, but that's because he has that returnability. So, you know, that's basically what we were paying for. And he had some deep shots that he was hitting in New Orleans last year, but they were few and far between. It's not like he did it 8 times a year. I think he maybe did it 3, maybe 4 times. So we paid $5 million basically for a kick returner and four touchdowns, and that was what we were hoping for out of him. 4 electric touchdowns. You don't hear anybody clamoring that we paid Nyheim Hines was making $4 million to be our second, maybe third running back and kick returner until he got hurt this year. Nobody was clamoring about that. What's the difference?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a comment in here, kind of a score prediction. So we'll get to that here in a minute because we'll share that one when we get to that point. Let's see. Here's one from Roy. I'll bet we see a Hardy jet sweep on Sunday. I'd be for that for sure. Kind of more of that McKenzie role.
Yeah, right.
And then Nick C again agreed, don't force targets just because they're on the roster. And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, they need to earn the right to get on the field, and they need to earn that trust. And for whatever reason, they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
And some of the other guys have. So, and
I feel like we have tried to force.
I'm not into just
them guys.
Yeah, I'm not into just
especially Sherfield. I feel like every time he gets on the field, Josh is looking his way first. So, I mean, hey, if they have plays designed, I mean, plays are always designed for certain people, you know, to get certain people open to use their abilities. And if that's just the time, but like it can't be, you can't just trot him out there when the play is designed for him. You also have to trot him out there when it's not designed for him, you know, because otherwise it's the dead giveaway. It's just like when we always talk about platooning a player with Kyrie Elam and Christian Benford. If Elam's in there, you know it's going to be man. If Benford's in there, you know it's going to be zone. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things. It's the same kind of giveaway.
Yeah. We're going to throw this one up here really quick because we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but the standings, because we're talking about Buffalo's only a game and a half behind. In the division, they're 1-2, so there's still games to be won there. If they win this weekend, I think that'll go a long ways towards this team kind of maybe starting to get things back on track a little bit, start to rebuild some of the confidence. And I'll hopefully get rolling. But you got Miami at top 6-3. Jets and New England, I think, are pretty much – well, I would say definitely New England's an afterthought at this point. Like, they're in the battle for Caleb Williams and the draft.
We thought that before when they only had one win. Now they have 2. So I ain't overlooking nobody anymore.
No, I agree. In the way that the Buffalo's been playing. I saw us
lose to everybody.
I agree. I'm just saying they're not going to be a player for the division title. They're out.
Correct.
Yeah, the Jets, I mean, if they beat Buffalo this weekend. Obviously, they move in front of us at that point, I think, right? By half a game?
Yeah.
Yep.
They'd be tiebreaker.
They'd be more than that. In the division, they'd be 2-1. We'd be 1-3. We'd be a full 2 games behind them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, I'm not looking at the division, Sam. I'm talking about because the division title goes to the overall record. Now, if there's a tie, it goes to head-to-head, in which case the Jets would own that tiebreaker since they already beat us. But just based off the win-loss record, we'd be a half game behind them. We'd be 5-6. They'd be 5-5.
Correct.
So, but if it came down to a tiebreaker, then, yeah, we're hosed. As we may be hosed by a lot of tiebreakers.
There's
still some games to be won.
You got to pray that we own the important one. You know, that's it.
Yeah. But what's up with the AFC East? We've all been losers for 2 weeks now.
We've been losers our whole lives except for the Patriots. What are you talking about?
And the Dolphins, they had a bye?
Yeah.
They had a bye, right?
They had a bye last weekend.
Right.
Screwed me in fantasy.
Or else they would have lost too, right?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay, so let's get into score predictions. And leading us into that is Brock Campbell here. We are done, fellas. Rinse and repeat since I was 6, now 40. I'm done with the Bills this year. Total BS. Season is over, and we lose this week 23-10. Defense has been great to keep us in games. I think that's a large portion of what Bills Mafia is thinking right now, to be honest.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, like I said earlier, you know what lady isn't singing yet, but it doesn't look good. I think she's walking up on the stage to get ready to sing. But
anyways, she's doing her do-re-mi's right now.
Yeah. Score predictions.
You're up first, Ronnie.
There's no other score predictions just yet, but we'll share those. So if you're listening, give us your score prediction. We'll throw them up on the screen. And I will go first this time, and I'm going to say Buffalo wins 21-17.
Nice.
Mike, go ahead.
Very close to my score, which is close to the score of their first matchup this year. Right in that ballpark, I'm going 17-24 Bills.
17-24, I like it. Roy Collins says Bills in overtime, 9-6. I'll take a win, though. I don't care.
I'll take it, man. I'm all for it.
Yeah, what do you got, Casey?
I got 34-21 Buffalo.
Woo!
Nice.
34? Light 'em up, huh? Against the Jets defense, so you got a lot of confidence in Brady.
It's time.
Still hoping for that game. I just lost
the dam's about to break. It's to me, this game is truly going to go either we're going to lose the same way we have looked the last 5-6 weeks, or we are going to come out and this was truly a spark and we're going to light it up.
Adrian here says needs to be a blowout or else McDermott's gone. I don't believe that one. If McDermott ends up getting fired from this team, it won't happen until the end of the season.
Oh yeah. Correct.
That's just my thought. I don't see why they would do, in the middle of the year.
I think we're all crazy now.
Yeah. Let me ask this question really quick before we get out of here. If Buffalo wins this game by Casey's score, which would you say 34 to what?
34-21. Yeah.
So Buffalo wins this game 34-21. Does that renew your hope in this season? Or are you like, that was cool, but we still got the Eagles, Chiefs, and Cowboys?
It'll be like the side eye. I'll be looking at it like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? Get back in your room.
What do you think, Mike? They're back on board if they win 34-20, 21.
Are they back on board?
I'll be back on board.
I'll tell you, I was holding on.
Are you back on board?
I'll be back on board, but it's tough sledding from here on out.
It doesn't take much for Mike.
It doesn't. I mean, I was holding out. I'll be the last one to lose hope, but man, they really flipped the script this week for me. So I'm really, really down on my hopes. But
yeah,
I don't know because it's like that we play one game. You know, we see this team how we're different. you know, how things might have changed in the past, you know, over this past week and how we're going to perform. And then, what, everyone sees it and they scout us correctly and they just shut us down again. So, until then, I'm not going to talk up too much, but I'm not going to bet against them.
If Buffalo wins 34-21, I will be cautiously optimistic. If we go out and we beat Philly, oh, it's on. It is on.
Are you kidding? My best friend's team is Philly. If we beat Philly, I will be insufferable.
Yeah. It will all be so on. We'll go from one extreme to the other and be like, here we come. Super Bowl is ours.
It was like me texting during that last game. You know, the worst team in the NFL. All right. We're the best.
Yeah. No. All right. We're going to get out of here. We're a little bit over. But hey, first of all, thank you, everybody. For listening, hit the like, hit the subscribe, share, tell your friends, as Casey likes to say. Again, you're listening to the Mafia Cast, part of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Tell your friends.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.